Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God dwells in the praises of His people. Amen. Praise the Lord. He works where there's honor. He works where there's reverence. He said in 1 Samuel 2, He said, if you'll honor me, He said, I'll honor you. Praise God. If we come with honor and reverence and worship and hunger, we will have moves of God in our church. As a corporate body, but also in your individual lives. Rewards given to you, things spoken to you, utterance from the pulpit, you know, gifts of the Spirit in operation. We need these things. We want these things. And these things thrive in a place of worship, a place of honor, and a place of reverence. I'm just going to keep hammering on those things. You know, the American church and 2021, even just life in general, people are so casual. Honor has been thrown out the window. Respect has been thrown out the window. And those are the things that God thrives on. Those are the things that God requires of us. And we shouldn't take our visitations and appointments with Him lightly. And so for us to not do that, we need to hear this stuff over and over and over again. So thank you for coming hungry. Thank you for coming with worship. Don't you just love that song? Those old hymns, I know maybe it's brand new for some of you, but those old hymns, man, you know, the ones that are scriptural, they move you, you know, and just really are blessings. So praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew 18 and verse 18. This is part two of our series we started last week on authority. We'll just do a quick review, you know, not too much here for time's sake. And I didn't finish the story when Abby said, Dad, can I tell him that you said, if he doesn't play with me, he's getting a spank. I said, out of breath, I said this, no, you can't, and if you do, it's going to be you that's getting the spank. Is that a true story, Abby? Yes, it is. She doesn't want to admit it, but she knows it's true. Praise God. Father, help us tonight. Lord, may my words be your words, Father. We want your words. We want your deeds tonight. Father, we need heaven in this service. Father, we didn't come out on a Wednesday night in the cold in Western New York after working and having things to do at home, when we get home, things to do tomorrow, just to play church. Father, we came out to hear from heaven. And we know, Father, in your word, that any time people that were gathered around you and around your presence, they had an opportunity, if they did the right thing, to leave changed, to leave blessed. And so, Father, we're here. We're hungry. Father, we're honorable. We're full of worship, full of hunger, full of reverence for you tonight, Father. We welcome you to be God here tonight. Speak through me that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Bullseyes will be hit. Boldness and utterance will be spoken tonight. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 18, I said 18, didn't I? Matthew chapter 18. That's the newest addition to the church right there. The Bellis family helping us grow the church. Praise God. We love that little baby. Praise God. Matthew 18, she just hadn't got used to her pastor's preaching yet. She's thinking, I just wish this guy would shut up so I could eat or go to sleep. She'll have to get used to me. She got a long life with me. But Matthew 18 and verse 18, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, both of these verses have good things that happen to the believer. Yes, amen. That God's doing something for both of these in these verses. God's binding, God's loosing, God's, you know, coming through with prayer requests. But notice who's the catalyst. Notice who gets the ball rolling. Yeah, I could say it this way. Notice who gets God moving. Yeah. It's us doing the right thing. There's no loosing and there's no binding without us loosening and binding first, praise God. And see, if we don't understand this, remember we talked about that last week, and I believe the title on live stream was the need, or the understanding the need for authority, because a lot of people, because you came up religiously, and this is the theme, the devil tries to just shoved down your throat because that keeps people sitting on their hands, is that you don't need authority. God's God, and God does what he wants to do, and it's just whatever. And so the idea of binding and loosing, the idea that God can't bless us until we pray, until we go forth with some of these things, it's so foreign to us. It's so foreign to our mind and our emotions and our flesh. It's so foreign to the majority of the body of Christ. It's so foreign to the world. There's so much pushback on those kinds of things, but it's biblical. Hallelujah. And so reading these, we know why a lot of people aren't getting their prayers answered. Why a lot of people aren't having things bound and loose. Why? They're just sitting around waiting for something to happen. And not understanding this will cause us to not do our job. And I said this, you know, I went for years to a job, to jobs that I couldn't stand. I hated going to them, whether you got up early or whether you didn't enjoy the people you work with or you didn't like the work. But you know what? You went faithfully. Why? You had a revelation of something. That I need something from that place, so I got to do what my part is, right? Well, a lot of people don't have the revelation of their part, and they don't realize the things we realize we need things from him. There's only things that he can, there's only things in our life that can turn things that can come from him, but we don't realize that we have to do our part to get what we need from him. But if we have that revelation, it'll be just like that revelation of the job. We go to the job. Why? We have a revelation. We need that. If we have a revelation of that only way we're going to get the things we need from the Father is to do our part, then we'll do our part, praise God. Hallelujah. We'll throw away that religious mindset and those things. And, you know, and the reason that people are like this, right? Remember we talked about this, and people are confused as authority and why is this, why is that? Is because they didn't see the beginning of the movie. Right? They don't know the beginning of the movie. They missed the beginning opening scenes, the opening act. And it was that's where characters were defined and roles were defined and things going forward. And now people jump in the middle of the movie and they look at things happening in the world. Why is God doing that? Why is God making people sick? Why is God destroying this? Why is God letting this happen? And they're thinking, you know, why aren't my prayers getting answered? Why isn't God just moving in my life? I'm a Christian. I go to church. I love him. I give money. I'm faithful. I serve. I'm moral. Why isn't God working? Because you didn't see the movie. And we saw last week, and I encourage you to look at it if you didn't, that in the beginning of the movie, we saw that it was God that what? In Genesis chapter 1, he gave mankind authority. Hallelujah. So once God gave it to mankind, whatever happened to the earth was on mankind's shoulders. Well, then we saw mankind forfeited it and gave it to the devil. You look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it'll catch you up a little bit to where we're at. You know, and it brought us all the way to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, which says that Satan is the god of this world. Well, in John 10 and verse 10, it says Jesus came to give life, but the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, we can see that in the world. Just watch the news one night, and you'll see a whole lot of stealing, killing, and destroying. But God gets a lot of that credit. Either God's doing it proactively, or God's just sitting back and letting it happen as if he could stop it. And that'll hurt your faith with him. That'll cause you to hinder your relationship with him. Because how can you truly sell out to a God that you think can just kill your family members, can just take away your job, can just hurt your body, just because whatever these dumb reasons Christians have? Well, he's sovereign and can do. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Job is probably the most misunderstood book of the Bible. Job said those words, but Job spoke them in ignorance. We know if you look at the Bible, it wasn't God that took that away from Job. It was the devil that went out and hurt his family. Amen? But, well, Job's heart was right, you know, but his doctrine was wrong. And a lot of Christians' hearts are so right, but their doctrine is wrong. And because their doctrine's wrong, they're not skillful in the area of things like authority. They're not skillful in the area of things like faith. And so I want to further tonight expound upon what we did last week, which is to give people the understanding why you have to do this. Why you have to use the name. Why you have to use faith. Why prayer is not optional. Right? What was it that John Wesley said? It seems as though God can do nothing for humanity until somebody asks him. So I don't know, that's blasphemy. I thought God could do whatever he wants. Well, we saw in Acts chapter 12, James was taken captive and James was killed, wasn't he? Not God's plan, but then Peter was looking like he was going to suffer the same fate. But Peter had some supernatural help, some supernatural deliverance. Well, It wasn't that God was sleeping on the job with James. It wasn't that God wanted James to be killed. It wasn't that it was just God's sovereign will. He gives and takes away. No, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12 that the church woke up and they prayed without ceasing. Prayer was made for Peter. Well, because when you understand that God just can't do anything in planet Earth, because why? He gave his title deed away. I can give you the title deed to my vehicle and sign it over to you, give you the keys, and it doesn't matter what condition I see that vehicle in. I can't drive by your house and see it, you know, sitting there with the windows open when it's pouring down rain or starting to rust out or the tires, you know, flat, it's rolling on the rims and things, and think, I'm going to take that back. They're not treating that right. No, it'd be illegal. I'd get in trouble for doing that. Well, God's not a lawbreaker. God is honorable, praise God. Amen. He said, mankind's yours, mankind gave it to the devil. So I want to further expound upon the fact and the idea about that we have a role to play. Because if we don't get this branded in us, prayer will still be optional. Faith will still be optional. That's like last week. I think it was last week, or I don't know, I get them mixed up. In the offering, when I brought out the words of Jesus in Mark 11:23, you'll have what you say. And I said, well, what did you say today over your money? Oh, nothing. Well, then you must want nothing. What have you said over your money this week? Oh, nothing. Well, then you must not want anything, because he said you'll have what you say. You know, every day I release my faith with confessions for my own life, for the church, for the ministry, for your lives, for things that are going on that are in my realm of influence and that I know are his will. And I always start with this with them, because I never want them to think I'm coming out of redundancy or repetitive. I say, Father, I thank you for the force of faith. I thank you that I've learned faith. I think I've got the revelation of faith. But Father, I just want you to know I'm not doing this out of mundaneness, out of repetitiveness, out of vain repetition. I'm doing this because your word said to hold fast the confession of my faith. Your word said I'll have what I say. So if I'm not saying things, I'm not going to have them. Your word said to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. And then I take off and I start declaring things. Father, I thank you that your plans and your purposes will be accomplished in our church. And I just go on with my list, praise God. Why? Because that's what Jesus said to do. And if I'm not doing it, I'm not just going to have something because I want it, because I desire it, because I need it, or because I deserve it. I'm going to have it when I act skillful with what the Bible says of how I can have it. So we have to get this idea down. That's what this whole series is about. Authority is the Christian waking up and recognizing their authority and who they are in Jesus and who they are in their role, because there's things that come against us, there's things that press against us, that is, God is not swooping in. He'll swoop in once you do your part. He swooped in for Peter, but not before the church did their part. Hallelujah. So I want to further expound on this. Go with me to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It's important that you know, first of all, the realm of the battle. To know what you're going against. Hallelujah. Yeah, you ever gone to the store? This happens to me all the time. And then, what I'm about to say is you can't find the right product. And then, when I'm looking for a Wegmans worker, when I don't need a Wegmans worker, they're everywhere. When I need a Wegmans worker, it's like they all entered the witness protection program. You can't find them. But if you ever, there have been times I have just gotten so frustrated, I'll be looking for, the other day I was looking for breadcrumbs. And I thought where the breadcrumbs should be, and I'm looking up and down, and I'm getting frustrated. And I'm getting mad. I'm spending a whole lot of time. Why? I'm just in the wrong place. Yeah. Wrong revelation of where I'm supposed to be. And a lot of people don't understand the realm of the battle, and when you understand the realm of the battle and your role in the realm of the battle, you'll recognize, I have to do something about some of these things that are coming against me. It's my job. I'm the binder. I'm the looser, praise God. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, without taking too much time to teach on it, that is the levels of the devil's kingdom. But the devil is not a natural being. He's a spiritual being. Amen? And the Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, which is what? The natural realm, what you can touch and see. Now, you might say, Yeah, but my sickness. Yeah, but my finances. Yeah, but my problem, my relationship. Yeah, but my kids. They may manifest in the natural, but the problem and the battle is not in the natural. The battle is in the spiritual realm against the enemy and his business. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 tells us the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," which we do, we're in the flesh right now. We can see each other. How we could pinch each other, we'd slap each other, hug each other, you know, we could. We're in the flesh. "For though we walk in the flesh," notice this, "we don't war after the flesh." What's he saying? Number one, he's saying there's a battle. He didn't use light terms, he used the term war. There's an absolute war going on. And he says our war is not in the flesh. You might think your war's in the flesh, because that's what you see and feel. But you're not, the war is not in the flesh. The war is a spiritual battle. Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody recently about the way somebody, you know, was caring about and acting. And I said, it'll help you to have compassion on the person to know that the reason that, they may be acting that way and caring about that way is because behind the scenes, yes, in the natural that's happening, but behind the scenes, they are being assaulted and they are being absolutely bombarded and influenced to go that way and to act that way. It might show up outwardly, but what's going on behind the scenes? Because our battle is not natural. Our battle is in the spirit realm. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, you don't need to turn there, verse 8, it says, our adversary, the devil. He's our adversary. What's that mean, our adversary? He's our enemy. He's our opponent. When you play an opponent in a sporting event, that opponent is trying to keep you from advancing. That opponent is trying to keep you from exceeding and doing what you're supposed to do and scoring and winning and going higher, right? That's what the opponent does. Well, the Bible says your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, who's what? Trying to keep you out of things. Trying to stop you. Trying to harass your kids. Trying to mess with your money. Trying to mess with your body. The Bible says that's the devil. That's the devil. So we have to understand this whole authority thing, because now think about this. If our adversary and the enemy is in the behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, who is the god of this world? The enemy. So if we have him coming against us, and the only way that we can the only way we can come against us is by using our authority, we better learn some things about authority or nothing's going to change for us. Who do you think motivated Herod to kill James? The devil. So even though it manifested through Herod, Herod wasn't the problem. Once the devil was taken care of behind the scenes, Herod didn't matter. You see that? Didn't matter how much authority and power Herod had. Once the devil was taken care of behind the scenes through prayer, what? When prayer was released, God was released. And the devil ain't no match for him. Praise God. It's the same in your life. You need God unleashed in your life. You do. But God's not going to be unleashed in your life if you're not using authority. If you're not doing prayer. If you're not walking by faith. Hallelujah. It's the truth. So I want to show you tonight. We've talked about this before. If the devil is our problem, and understanding, if the devil is our enemy, well, I'll just tell you the way I grew up thinking, and maybe you have had these wrong thoughts, hopefully not anymore, but if you do, we'll help correct them, or people that are watching. But I'm here to tell you, the majority of the body of Christ, knowing that the devil's the one causing us the problems, their instant reaction is, "Father, do something about the devil. Father, take care of the devil. Father, I'm praying, do something about the devil." Well, I'm going to show you in the Word that there's not one scripture. Now remember, he's the god of this world. He's our opponent. And there's not one scripture where our loving Heavenly Father tells us that he's going to do a lick about the devil in our life. In fact, we're going to find multiple references where God told us in the Word that if we want the devil, our adversary, the one causes the problems, off our back, we have to do something about it. And we do something about him through prayer. We do something about him through the releasing of faith. We do something about him through authority, praise God. Now, I brought the book with me, Believer's Authority, because it's just, might as well just read it out of here. It's just better than me trying to fumble through the story, and it'll be a blessing to you. But I want to show you where this revelation came from. Now, remember, we don't go by men's revelations. Like, we're not led by them. But if they're lined up with the Bible, we can use them for our benefit, praise God. And for them to be legit, they have to line up with the Word of God. But I want to read a story about, in the Believer's Authority, under the chapter Exercising Authority, that Brother Hagin talked about, that Jesus helped him. And of course, Brother Hagin had many visions. Now, if you say, are visions biblical? Well, we know in Acts chapter 16 there was a vision. We know in Acts chapter 2, actually the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, that in these last days, visions will be given. Some people here have told me about visions that they've had. I've had the opportunity to have a few of them, not the number Brother Hagin has had, but they've been a great blessing in my life when they happen. Not something you can turn on and turn off. It's as the Lord wills them, right? Minding your business and they happen. But I want to read this to you here, and then we're going to show you some things in the Word. The subtitle for this little paragraph here is The Demon Jesus Refused to Deal With. Now, in 1952, the Lord Jesus appeared to me in a vision and talked to me for about an hour and a half about the devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of the vision, an evil spirit. So now remember, Jesus is schooling him face to face, giving him the things that we benefit now. He didn't just learn these from some Bible school. Jesus taught him these things. So how many of you know if Jesus appears to you and starts schooling you, you are paying attention? There'd be no falling asleep in that service. At the end of the vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or elf ran between Jesus and me and spread something like a smoke screen or a dark cloud. Remember, this is in the spirit realm and demons. Then this demon began jumping up and down in between Brother Hagin and Jesus with that smoke, crying in a shrill voice, yakety-yak, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. He said, I couldn't see Jesus or understand what he was saying. Through this entire experience, Jesus was teaching me something, and if you'll be attentive, you'll find the answer here to many things that have troubled you. I couldn't understand why Jesus allowed the demon to make such a racket. I wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the demon so I could hear what he was saying. I waited for a few moments, but Jesus didn't take any action against the demon. Jesus was still talking, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying, and I needed to, because he was giving instructions concerning the devil, demons, and how to exercise authority. I thought to myself, doesn't the Lord know I'm not hearing what he wanted me to? I need to hear that. I'm missing it. I almost panicked. I became so desperate, I cried out, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop. The minute I said that, that little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt and the black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining like a whipped pup. He wouldn't look at me. Not only shut up, but get out of here in Jesus' name, I commanded. He ran off. The Lord knew exactly what was in my mind. I was thinking, why didn't he do something about that? Why did he permit that? Jesus looked at me and said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. That came as a real shock to me. It astounded me. I replied, Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. You said you wouldn't, didn't you? He replied, no, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. I went through this four times with him. He was emphatic about it, saying, no, I didn't say I would not, I said I could not. I said, now, dear Lord, I just can't accept that. I never heard or preached anything like that in my life. Welcome to the majority of the body of Christ. Oh, devil, Father, get the devil off my back. Do something about the devil. Why are you letting the devil harass me? He said, I didn't preach or know anything like that. He said, I told the Lord I didn't care how many times I saw him in visions. He would have to prove this to me by at least three scriptures out of the New Testament because we're not living under the old covenant, we're living under the new. Jesus smiled sweetly and said he would give me four. I said, I've read through the New Testament 150 times and many portions of it more than that. If it's in there, I don't know it. Jesus replied, son, there's a lot in there you don't know. Welcome to the club, right? Well, at least we're in Brother Hagin category. He continued, not one single time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray that God the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. In fact, to do so is the waste of time. The believer is told to do something about the devil. The reason is because you have authority to do it. The church is not to pray to God the Father about the devil. The church is to exercise authority that belongs to it. The New Testament tells believers themselves to do something about the devil. The least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as anyone else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done in a lot of areas. Now, again, that's a neat story, and wow, that's exciting, and man, that's a crazy, and it preaches well. But I want to just say this to you. We don't go by what he says, we go by what the Word says. Does that prove out in the Word? Is it true that the Bible tells us? Because if the Bible tells us, this is the whole crux of the whole thing, that we're to do something about the devil, then that shows us that how much our authority is needed, how much it's to be recognized. If the very one that's running planet Earth is coming against us and our Father's not going to do a darn thing about him, unless we do, we better know our role. Amen. Well, go with me to Matthew 28:18. I want to show you the four witnesses. Now, you don't have to turn there because we're going to Matthew 28:18. And you can't go to two places at once. Matthew 28:18. 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul said this, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You don't build a doctrine off one scripture, off one idea, right? You have multiple scriptures that back that up. Like the idea of having what you say and that words are powerful. You don't just take one scripture, but there's multiple places in the Bible that back that up. Praise God. Things like that. And so in Matthew 28:18, I'm going to show you now the four witnesses. Because remember, Jesus said, I'll give you four witnesses instead of three. I'm going to show you the four witnesses that the Bible tells us that God is going to do nothing about the devil, that it's our job. The first witness is Jesus, okay? Number one is Jesus. In Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, we looked at this last week, that word power is not the word dunamis, which means power in the Greek, it's the word exousia, which means authority. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then we saw last week in verse 19:20, he said, because of that, now the church go forth. We know in Luke 10, the Bible says, behold, I give unto you authority. But I want to show you this now. So Jesus has all authority in the earth. Why does he have all authority in the earth? Because he is the very one that defeated the God of this earth. How? The main thing the devil had at his disposal was death, and Jesus defeated death, praise God. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he defeated. The Bible says from that point on, the devil was stripped. We have power and authority over him now. We've been translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. So Jesus is saying, I have all authority on planet Earth. Well, that does us no good unless he has delegated that authority to us. Well, has he? Go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This is the first witness. Jesus was showing Brother Hagin. He said, remember, I told the church I have all authority, but I've given you my authority. See, we wouldn't argue that Jesus has authority over the devil and his all his powers. We wouldn't argue that. We would recognize that. But where Christians fight it is that we have authority over the devil. But in verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17. Now look at this. These signs shall follow them that believe. The very first sign that Jesus said would be in a believer's life is this. In my name. Why? Jesus had authority over all the earth. He gave us the authority through the name of Jesus, which I'm sure in this series we'll hit on the name of Jesus. In my name, they, who? The believers, will cast out devils. Notice it doesn't say Jesus will cast out the devil. What does it mean to cast out the devil? Take authority over the devil and put a stop to the devil in his tracks. They will cast out. If the devil is to be stopped, if the devil is to be put in his place, it's going to have to come from the believer using the authority given to them. That's the first witness that Jesus told him. Said, nothing in there says I'm going to do anything about the devil. Says, you're to cast out the devil in my name, praise God. Now the second witness, well, before I go on, let me say, I want to give you a quick example about that devil being cast out. There's a lot of stories I could go to. I could go to the one in the after-school program where they smoked out the room, you know, and I had to take authority over that, and things changed and happened. But the one that came to my mind as I was meditating on the service was a young girl had come to me after a service one time, just in tears and just beside herself, 15, 16 years old, and how she was just being absolutely harassed and bullied at school. Man, I hate that kind of stuff. You know, I had braces on my legs. I still remember as a kid, and I wonder if a lot of the self-conscious issues I had growing up came from moments like this. I remember being on the swing set as a little boy, you know, with braces on my legs, not being able to play, and two older girls just laughing and just ripping into me, man. I'll tell you, that'll mess with you. It's awful, you know. It's horrible, some things people have to go through and things, but there was one, she came up to me, and she was just in tears about a guy. It was a guy and a girl that's just giving her a hard time, harassing her. Well, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, it's manifesting in flesh and blood, but there's a spirit behind it. It's the devil messing with one of God's daughters, causing her. You got to remember, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to mess. He hates you. He wants to make your life so miserable. So miserable in the name of Jesus. He does. He hates you. And I said to her, well, you know, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name, that, you know, all that stuff. And spiritual wickedness, all the things that the levels of the devil's kingdom there. I said, and the Bible says we have authority. The devil's motivating those people to do that, to mess with you. I said, I'm going to pray a prayer and release my faith. You know, I gave her a little bit about the authority of the believer and things because, you know, I can't just do it. Her faith's got to be there too, you know. But I taught her a little bit and got her faith going. I said, now, I'm going to pray a prayer and you tell me if you can agree with this. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, Satan, in the name. Remember, he said the name. Use the name. And see, when you understand the name, there'll be faith back in those words. See, I understand the name. I understand that it's like using power of attorney. It's just as if Jesus was there. I was able to cash checks for my dad by using power of attorney. And it was as if he was cashing the checks. Yeah, he didn't even need to be there. But I had power of attorney. It was as if he was there. Amen. I had abilities and access to all his accounts, all his resources, just by having power of attorney in the name. And Jesus said, in my name, you could do this. Well, I know the devil's harassing. I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you take your hands off this situation. You cease and desist your maneuvers against her immediately. You knock it off right now in the name of Jesus. Why? When I prayed it, I meant it. I know the name. I know you don't. I didn't feel anything. There was no vision. There was no goosebumps. You know, and naturally it felt as dead as can be. But by faith and by the Spirit in my heart, I knew. I said, can you agree with that? She said, I can. I saw what, you know, I saw what you showed me in the Word. I said, now let's just praise Him for it. If you believe it, man, we're free now. We can be thankful. So her and I just in the sanctuary just rejoice. Father, I thank you. This situation's changing. This situation's turning. Well, she came back. One a couple weeks later, full of joy, she said, Pastor Mike, you're not going to believe this. I like when I hear those. Yeah. I can't remember if it was the guy or the girl, but doesn't matter if I mix them up. That don't matter. One of them got suspended for the rest of the year, can't come back to school, and the other one all of a sudden moved to another state. Just all of a sudden. Praise God. Hallelujah. But what about people that don't know? Oh, God, do something about it. Oh, God, do something. And he's wanting to. He's wanting to unleash his power and stuff, but he can't. How bad do you think he wanted to deliver James? Bad. Wasn't his will. Hallelujah. So bad he wanted to deliver James. Praise God. Well, speaking of James, it's a different James, but second witness is found in James chapter 4. So we got Jesus as a witness. That's a pretty good witness. James chapter 4. Now remember, we're looking at, because if you don't recognize this, you don't, because what does the Bible say about faith? The devil can't stand against faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith So why? You'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, if you don't have a revelation that you need that shield, the devil will just keep throwing those darts at you and you'll keep begging God to do something, right? If you don't have a revelation about power and prayer and releasing the hands of God, you don't have a revelation of the name, you ain't going to do this stuff. So we got to see this. We got to see these things. We got to get these branded in us to make us realize we better stand up in our place. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now he's talking to Christians. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I don't see anything in there except about the submission to God, about God doing anything to resist the devil and make him flee. Right. No, the Bible tells me my job is to resist him. Right. If he's coming against me and pressing me and causing things in my life, it's my job to put a stop to that. You can beg and you can think you deserve it and you can rest on your laurels of how good of a Christian you are, but until you use your authority, the devil will laugh at you. Your job, the second witness, is to resist the devil. Now, I can't go past this verse without looking at the first part of it. The second part of the verse won't work until the first part's in place, just so you know. Submit to God. What's that mean? Submit to his ways. You can't live in the devil's territory and outside the boundaries of the Word of God and play along with the devil and expect your authority to work against him. He's going to laugh at you, say, "What do you, you're obeying me, now you're going to try to tell me what to do? No, you're my servant. You're my slave." Yeah. That's not saying, you know, you miss it and get back in. I'm talking about a continued lifestyle of sin and just balking against the Word of God and mocking God and expecting your authority to work. No, you need to deal with the things that God's dealing with you about. Right. And that your heart's dealing with you about. But notice that's the second place. I'll tell you this. You preach this in a lot of places. I remember one time I got asked to preach. I don't just say these things to make it sound good or to throw a blanket of sensationalism over a service. When I say, like a lot of places, this would blow them away, they would think, they would boo you out of the building. I remember the Baptist church I preached at? I was asked to preach at a Baptist church. I'm going to tell you which one it was. And I don't have anything against the Baptists, but I know some of their doctrine. And I got into that Baptist church, and I preached about God's goodness. I love talking about God's goodness. And I mentioned how it's the thief that steals, kills, and destroys. God's not a tornado maker. God's not the hurricane maker. God's not the coronavirus maker. God's not doing this. God's not doing that, you know, acts of God. And I preach the word. There's a devil, there's a God. You know, basic foundational stuff. And I'll tell you what, all but one person that whole service received anything I said. They all looked at me like I was crazy, didn't talk to me after the service, and never had me back. And I know I preached good. I know I did because it was the Bible. I was just so excited because I knew that these people are convinced God's the reason they're sick. God's the reason they're broke. God's the reason that this is going on in their life. And he's not the reason. There's a devil. And so when I say these things, like, most people have no idea that God is going to do nothing until you first do something. They think you're off your rocker. They think you're promoting a you gospel. No, we're promoting a skillfulness gospel. Amen. So that's the second place. Number three is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. So we had Jesus, we had James, now we're going to have Peter. Remember, out of the mouth of two or three, Jesus said, "I'll give you four." What are we looking at to find out we better use our authority? Because ain't nothing going to be done about the one that's coming against us until we do something. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's dress-up day every day for him. I've often used this example about the devil. The Bible says the devil's been stripped. One translation says put to naught. One translation says disarmed. One translation says paralyzed. Well, people in those places of disarmed, put to naught, paralyzed, stripped of their powers, they shouldn't be able to do very much. You know, the devil is like the Wizard of Oz. Everybody was afraid of the Wizard of Oz. And what did the Wizard of Oz do? Sit behind the curtain with a voice. Boy, the devil has a voice, doesn't he? And say things and appear a certain way and put thoughts. So much so the lion went running right through the... I know you want me to do my lion impersonation. I know it. The fall with the king of the forest. I know you're waiting for it, and I didn't want to disappoint you. But remember, he went flying through. Why? He thought, oh my gosh, and here he's a lion, the king of the jungle, running from what? A little old man. The Bible says, I can't remember the reference, maybe I'll slick text it out to you, about they're going to have a revelation about who the devil is someday. People are going to say, this is the one? This is the one that made the nations tremble? This thing? Why? He's been stripped. He roars like a lion, but he's not one. And I always use the example of my little daughter, Abby. Little 7-year-old, you know. Little wimpy little thing. Compared to her dad, I mean. But I'll tell you what. If I just to say, you know, Abby, just go ahead, beat the snot out of me. Do whatever you want. She'd leave me damaged. She could leave me hurt. You know, get toys and hit me with them. Get her nails out and start digging, start kicking. I've seen her do some of these things to Caleb. We were driving the car one night. Remember coming home from church one night? It was dark. You know that sound it makes when a fist hits a jaw?
Yeah.
We heard that. She just hauled off and cold cocked Caleb just out of nowhere. You remember? Punched you right in the face. She thinks it's great. We got to watch this kid. How cute she is, I'm telling you. Don't be fooled. See, y'all think the Andersons. Oh, I mean, that must be just the model home. Kids are perfect all the time. Nothing wrong in that home. Come over and see. We'll put on a show for you. Cole caught Caleb. Well, if you're to let her keep doing that, she could inflict some harm on him, even though she's little. But you can put a stop to it if you want to. Amen. He's a roaring lion, but he's been stripped, the Bible says. Jesus disarmed him, put to naught, paralyzed him. The only way now is if what? We don't do what we're supposed to do. We let him do these things. Hallelujah. But there's the second place. Or no, he says, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, he says, okay, we got a dove. He's seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What's he saying? You have this one, but you got to resist him. Yeah, he's going about his royal line. So what? Resist him. Yes, so what? She can inflict harm. Just put an end to this. Stop it, right? I don't have to sit there and let her hit me, let her claw at me and kick me. No, I can put a stop to it real fast. But people don't know the authority. That, oh, just take what comes their way. Getting licked by the devil. Well, that's the third place. Fourth place. So we have Jesus as the witness, James as the witness, Peter as the witness. But what about the Apostle Paul? What did he have to say about the matter? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Not one place, and I dare you to look all throughout the Scriptures, and you find one place in the Bible, because if you can, Jesus was a liar, but you won't be able to find it. I mean, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $100. You find one place in the Bible where it tells you that you are to ask God to do something about the devil for you. You will not find it, because it's not in there. Ephesians, what Paul said, neither give place to the devil. What's he saying? If you don't want the devil in your life, don't give him entrance. You don't give him entrance. What's he saying? God's not saying, I'm going to stop the devil from having a place in your life. Why? God can't stop the devil from having a place in your life. The devil goes about seeking whom he may devour. And actually, in that verse in 2 Peter 5, verse 8, if you look in the Greek, when it says seeking whom he may, that word whom he may in the Greek actually is who will allow him. Yeah. Abby could give every one of you a bloody nose. Any one of you, if you let her. You know, but except some of the real little kids, the majority of us in here, every single one of us, could stop her from doing it. Brother Hagin, Jesus told Brother Hagin, the least of all the Christians, do to him. But they don't recognize it, and they don't realize it, and we want God, keep the devil out of my life, keep the devil out of my life. No, it's your job. And how do we do this? Knowledge, skillfulness, authority, recognizing the need. Praise God. Situations that the devil's hindering, that prayer would fix. Understanding, I have to pray to untie his hands. Situations where faith is the answer and declaring and speaking to it, when you understand these things and understand what faith can do, you'll do it. Praise God. Where the name's involved, where authority, taking authority. We better know these things. And that's what this series is about. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we're built up more. We're armed. Yeah. We're more armed. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight, Lord. We're blessed. We honor the word. We're so thankful for the word, Father, and what you've done for us. Father, we throw out our religious mindsets, our backwards thinking of sitting around on our hands, waiting for you to do something, blaming you for everything. No, we're going to get our, he's going to steal our lunch and eat it if we don't recognize our authority and what we have to do. So, Father, that's what we're doing. We're growing in these areas. So, Father, may my fruit remain, Lord. May this message grow in people's heart. May they be good ground to receive it and to bring forth fruit from it, Father, to make the adjustments and the changes where needed. Now, Father, I know we're all born again here. But if you're watching and you're not born again, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says it's simple. He said, he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you want to receive Jesus, Romans 10:9 is the outline. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. You got to believe in your heart first. If you say, I believe in Jesus, next thing is to call on his name, to confess his name. And I just, at the end of this service, you just get on your knees and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do it. He'll save you. Praise God. Heaven will be yours. But I do encourage you, if you pray that prayer, get a hold of me. I'd love to share some verses with you to give you courage and confidence going forward and encouragement. Give me a phone call. Give me an email. Let me know. There's so much more I want to tell you going forward now that he wants to do for you for the rest of your life. But Father, we praise and magnify you. We glorify you and give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, well, thank you for watching on live stream. We're going to go ahead and shut down the live stream service, but we're going to go ahead and pray. Praise God and release our faith. If you can stay and pray, great. If you can't, be praying on your own. And again, if you